You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 456, and it's Monday, March 26th, and we're here to talk Notre Dame football. Randall's here as well. Randall, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
We're a little, I don't know if you'll notice on the podcast, but we're under a little bit of stress. Our normal podcasting, there's some construction going on right outside our room.
And I know, so, I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's going to shake us a little bit or not. But Notre Dame is back, has had a week of spring practice. There's some updates from that. Brian Kelly had a press conference late last week, and there was the pro day happened. We didn't discuss that, but Randall has a few thoughts on that. We're going to go over that. And is there anything with recruiting?
Just more guys are setting up visits. There was about six guys on campus, I believe, this last weekend. And more guys keep setting up visits over the summer. And they keep adding names for the blue and gold game. So they have quite a few recruits there for that, which is why it's even more important for your fans to be at the game, cheering on the Irish at the spring game. So we got to keep pushing that. I'm not sure how we're going to start our... Alizé Mack tweeted out, I believe it was yesterday, was like, who all is going to be at the spring game? And I quoted that tweet, added something like, everybody needs to get out there. And we've talked about it before, make sure you bring your friend. This is a chance, bring all your kids. Bring everybody out, and let's try to fill up as many seats as possible.
And if you want to sit in the gold seats, you know, it's not that difficult to do.
They're blue seats now.
Oh.
But I think, what is it? I think it's like $30 to get
those. I mean, it's not cheap. I mean, but if you just wanted, if you had wanted to sit in them, see what it feels like.
Well, you're not going to sit.
Go ahead and do it.
You're not going to get to a game for $30.
No.
Even at the top, so there you have it.
Depending what game. Anyway.
You have to get pretty bad to, well.
Spring practice. There's a couple topics to discuss. Let's start with Jerry Tillery. Brian Kelly did mention that he is going through the concussion protocol. He led with his head instead of tackling with his arms.
And I wanted to ask if it was targeting.
Did they throw a flag? Probably, it didn't sound too serious. He was going through the protocol and expected to be back at practice tomorrow on Tuesday. And from the way he talked, Brian Kelly, I expect that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. One other guy, Pete Warner, was on the sideline with crutches as well. Not exactly sure what happened, but he's in a walking boot, so he's kind of out of the competition right now. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of injuries going on right now, or new ones, I should say. I mean, there's guys obviously recovering, but nobody's really good, which they haven't had that many full-on practices with pads, so they just started that this last week, so...
Brian Kelly did mention that Tavon pretty much was invisible for parts of practice last year and said this year it's a big difference. And he was one of the players that was interviewed. And it's really encouraging to hear how excited he was to be back for his senior season, foregoing the NFL pursuit for this year and putting in one more year of college football. He was very, very excited about it, and that was encouraging to hear. Definitely sounds like he's putting in the work. And going to make the best of it this year.
Yeah, he says he's realized that he needs to give 100% all the time. And it sounds like they convinced him to come back because of how good his season ended. And if that's how much better his season can be this upcoming year if he's doing that in spring practice already. He's setting himself up to have a huge senior year.
If he's consistent, if he plays a full season where he was playing that last half, I mean... he's going to have a phenomenal season.
Yeah, one quote from that I thought was kind of interesting. He said, off the field, I'm an awesome guy. So he obviously has a different, and we've seen him, he's a fierce player out on the field, but he did throw that in. He says, off the field, I'm an awesome guy, but he does take some pride in being a fierce competitor out in the field, and he's not going to back down. So, and that's something we're hearing from the whole team is that it seems more competitive out there. Players are trash talking, and just, you know, they need to do that in practice as well.
So. It doesn't, it sounds like the defense is continuing to develop as a unit or as a, yeah, as a unit. They're building off of last year. And it sounds like the players feel like they're continuing to grow.
And you hear that from the offensive players as well. I mean, you hear comments from both sides, basically all the players saying, you know, we're in year two now. We feel more comfortable and confident in what we're doing. Not just, you hear it a lot on the defense side of the ball, but you also hear it a lot on the offensive side of the ball from the quarterbacks and receivers. You know, it just seems like everybody feels more confident in what they're supposed to be doing, where they're supposed to be at. And it seems like that might have been an issue with some of the guys last year, especially guys like Dalen Hayes, you know, getting lost, had so much to take in that that's maybe why he kind of faded out or didn't have the year that we were hoping he would have. So it's good to see that from both sides, and it seems like the team is definitely taking a step forward this spring.
I definitely want to discuss the quarterback situation, but was there anything more on defense that you wanted to talk about?
Well, obviously Dalen Hayes, he was also one of the guys they interviewed, and he talked about being comfortable with how he's playing because he did play linebacker in high school. And he's put on 10 pounds from since last year, and he says his biggest improvement or thing he's just physically, he's more of a presence physically and blowing up plays like he has been before. Like he can read and react a lot quicker because he's not overthinking it. He sees that in himself, and he was asked about Coach Leo a little bit, and his comments, we've heard it from other players, like he's very interested in everybody. Hayes even said that, you know, a lot of times you don't think Coach Lee is paying attention, and all of a sudden he'll come over and say something about the play, say good job, or, you know, you need to do this. And so he was actually watching when they thought they weren't.
One thing, let's talk about Clark Lee just for a second. Brian Kelly knows what he's getting as far as a teacher, but the question mark is, can he call plays, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't think you do know until you start playing. However, Brian Kelly did make a good point. He talked about how if the players are playing hard, you know, that can cover up for some of the mistakes a defensive coordinator might make as a play caller. And even more than that, just being a good teacher and having the players play fundamental and sound and mistake-free, even if it's not the perfect play call or the perfect scenario maybe to call a blitz, having players play sound and fundamental is more important, I think.
Yeah.
I think everyone would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he may not be a perfect or great play caller when to call in those blitzes, but if the defense is playing sound, tackling sure, that's a huge, huge, huge part. The bigger part.
Yeah. As far as other guys in the defensive line, Aquara, you know, he was asked about his 10-pound loss. And Brian Kelly says, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge for Aquara. Aquara knows he needs to put weight on and that he's not going to be able to play at 230. So he didn't really say what happened, what the reason was for the weight loss.
Didn't he also say they can fluctuate? He can fluctuate 10 pounds. But I think it's funny because then Dalen Hayes is talking about how he's, 220 or 232, 233 or what was it, 262, 263?
Ish.
I mean, he has it down to between 1 or 2 pounds, and I just thought it was...
Well, I think all the players do. I think that was just kind of a cover for Aquara. As closely as they monitor those players. Aquara knows he needs to put on more weight. Brian Kelly said there it's kind of a challenge to him to do that, put on the right weight. So we don't know exactly what's going on there, but it is obviously something that they're looking at or know that it needs to happen. He can't play at 230 where he's at now. But then obviously you mentioned about Tillery being the concussion protocol. Then linebackers, as Brian Kelly said, Tranquil and Coney are the guys out there. Then the other spot, you know, you have Bilal, and he basically said he's the guy you'll have out there that's going up against tight ends. But then when you have, you know, receivers, or if they, depending on what the offense does, they'll have to bring in a different rover or use a nickel package, or, you know, they have other ways to do that, which Notre Dame plays a lot of nickel. And so that's something that they can look at. as far as the corners, he said, you know, obviously Love, we all know what Julian Love can do, but they're actually, it's because of what he's where he's at now, they're adding more things. They're trying different techniques, and Branko mentioned the good depth at the cornerback position, and he said that they might actually start adding some, playing some press coverage, which I'm sure a lot of fans will like hearing that, because that's often a I know we talk about that a lot while we're watching the game, you know, why they don't do that, but you know, some has been because of the players they've had and the depth behind them as well, but there's good competition there. He did mention pride, you know, that he's got to work on his tackling, and for him, he's still, you know, it's the experience, and you know, he mentioned a play against Stanford that Troy Pride missed, you know, and there's some things that he's got to learn as far as his knowledge base there. But, you know, the other guys, Crawford's getting an opportunity at cornerback. They even had Houston Griffin in at the nickel position. So but they have the depth to do that, and they can kind of move them around. So, yeah, with Love, Alize Mack was actually beating Love on some plays. So that's a good sign for, I guess, for the anybody talking about Alize Mack. It means he's making an improvement. And then as far as safety, he did mention Gilman.
Too many times last year. It wasn't the defense that was stifling Alize Mack. It was self-inflicted.
Yeah. As far as the safeties, Gilman, Brian Kelly pointed him out. He said he's really good cover safety and can play the ball in the air. So I think he's trying to say that they might be able to get a couple interceptions. The safety position might get some interceptions next year.
I guess that could have been a bold prediction. The safeties will pick off the ball.
Even if they get one, that's a bold prediction right now.
No, it'll...
And he did talk about some of the younger guys, you know, where they're playing. You know, some of them are basically ready to play. Bo Bauer's a guy that could, but they got to be able to grasp it mentally, get that down pat. So that basically covers the defensive side.
All right, let's start with the quarterbacks. Brian Kelly was asked about Brandon Wimbush and Ian Book, and he's kind of said that they haven't really, no one's really stepped apart, which I expect him to say that.
Yeah.
Even if
he's not going to say anything
even
else.
Even if there'd be a vast difference, I'd expect him to say that just to help with the competition.
You could have Tom Brady come in and compete with these guys, and Brian Kelly would say, hey, you know, we'll see what we got at the end of spring practice.
It does sound like it is a healthy competition. Ian Book talked about it a little bit. And
here's the one thing. In the open practices, Brandon Wimbush is always the guy out there with the first team. I mean, it's his job for the taking, basically. And he's getting all the chances, all the opportunities to take that. So it would be nice to just see him take hold of that position and claim it by the end of spring, but you know that's not going to happen. I mean, even if he does, they're not going to say it.
I won't. Well, me as a fan, I won't be confident until I don't even think I'd be confident at halftime with a almost perfect Brandon Wimbush performance. I think it would take me a game and a half until I'd really feel. I'd have to actually see things like completing a variety of passes, bubble screens.
Yeah.
Deep passes.
We kind of saw it with Malik Zaire. Came out and had an amazing game against Texas, and we all thought that, you know, he had fixed all his passing questions, and then, you know, the next game was against Virginia where he obviously got hurt, but he was not having a good game throwing the ball.
And maybe one thing that's overlooked is maybe one thing that separates a really good quarterback from just an average quarterback is being able to pull yourself or if a quarterback's in rhythm, even a quarterback that is average, like Malik Zaire is an average passer, but when he was in rhythm, he looked amazing. And even Brandon Wimbush against Michigan State, it seemed like he was in a rhythm there from the start of the game. And maybe the difference between just an average quarterback and a really good quarterback is being able to pull yourself through those slumps and step up and make plays later in the game, even if you haven't been in rhythm before.
Yeah.
Is getting into a rhythm.
Yeah. Well, Wimbush and Book both talked about you know, just knowing the game better, you know, just another year in this. This is the second year in the system. And Wimbush, well, he didn't mention, but Brian Kelly, they mentioned his footwork's gotten a lot better, which has been given him the opportunity to, I mean, if his footwork's good, it gives him more confidence to make the pass. And so that's his, I mean, his anything to build Wimbush's confidence is going to help him. And it looks like the receivers are stepping up and making catches as well, which is going to help both these quarterbacks. Yeah. I could say, I still blame some of it. Yeah,
the receivers didn't help the quarterbacks out last year.
Exactly, and that makes the quarterbacks overthink it. You know, even Book hung on to it too long sometimes, and that has to do with their trust in the receivers as well. But it seems like the receivers have definitely stepped up their game as well, and the quarterbacks feel more comfortable with them. And it, from what it looks like, Wimbush is gaining confidence. So, and he did mention that he's I'm not sure what his exact wording is, but basically said he's taking care of what he needs to worry about. Like, it sounded like they're telling him not to worry about stuff, what's out of your control. Don't worry about that. Just do what you're supposed to do, and the rest will happen. Have trust in your teammates, basically. So, he did mention the spring game. He's looking to have a good game at the spring game.
I mean,
so,
it's important to him that he has a good performance in the spring game.
Exactly.
So do you buy the hype around Miles Boykin that he's going to be a contributor this season? Because I predicted the other week about, you know, Miles Boykin, you know, not really being a contributor this fall. I still don't expect it to happen.
Well, from how Brian Kelly talks, it sounds like Miles Boykin is ahead of everybody. He's kind of in a different group from what everybody else is at.
It sounds like he's a superstar.
Which he was in last spring as well. But he's making catches. It seems like he's going up and getting the ball, and so they just need to throw it close, and he's going to – maybe that catch in the bowl game is what the confidence booster that he needed. But
for him, I never thought it was confidence that he was lacking. I thought it was burst and speed.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're ever going to get that speed from him, but it's he's doing good things this spring, and maybe he just realizes he needs to be the leader and step up and do something on the field, and he's not stuck behind, you know, EQ or anybody else that was in front of him over the years.
And I like the mindset that he mentioned, has.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get 50-50 balls. He says those would be 60-40, you know, or 70-30. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset they have, that they're going to get the majority of those. And so it's...
And that's encouraging, because that was... And part of that, well, again, it was partly on Brandon, partly on the receivers, but those balls should have been thrown a little bit better, but some of them should have been caught. Because they weren't 50-50 balls last year.
Yeah. Well, some of the guys that stand out, even the Book mentioned Michael Young. You hear Michael Young's name quite a bit. And basically the three main guys you hear first are Boykin, Young, and Claypool. I mean, it seems like those are the three main guys. But
And Fink's McKinley's, name is mentioned too.
Yeah, some. But we'll have to see if he's... He's another one of those guys that is usually good in practice and doesn't do much out in the field. It sounded like he got thrown a little bit under the bus by Brian Kelly when he talked about punt return. Brian Kelly said they need to do much better, and it's an open competition. So, but yeah.
Well,
here's the thing: you're getting these receivers are doing things. The guys that are coming in this summer are the speed guys, and so these guys have to take advantage of their opportunity now in the spring. And I don't know. I still go back to last year. We thought we had a great wide receiver group. And then it's like, you know, we had all the depth. What are we going to do with all these wide receivers? And they're so good and blah, blah, blah. Well, they didn't show up.
Well, and keep in mind, two of those guys were transfers that we didn't really know. But Brian Kelly was talking about them being in the mix, playing a lot, and they didn't.
And Freddie Canteen is still there. So, we'll see. They still drop passes in practice on Saturday.
I guess that was due to injury that they were, at least that's why they lost some of their playing time.
And Stefferson being out. Oh, you mean during the year? Yeah. But they did still drop some passes, so which I still, I guess we'll see. That this is a, it seems like they have all the talent. So if the receivers do not perform this year, I was saying at the end of this last season, I was saying that Dell Alexander might be an issue with these receivers because we have the talent and they're not performing. So I guess we'll have to see. It seems like we have all the talent there. We'll guess we'll have to see if they can produce. But
well, one big black mark on Alexander's resume is Equanimeous. I mean, he as a sophomore, I mean, he had a really, really good sophomore season and seemed like he was much more motivated. And I'm not saying that's all on Alexander because, I mean, EQ has to be self-motivated too.
Yeah. But it, to me, it just never seemed like they dropped a lot of passes and they're not, they don't fight. They're not physical. They don't do anything with the ball. And at some point, the whole group is doing that, you know. But they're doing what they need to right now, so I'm not gonna complain.
Was there anything
about
from
much.
The running back group?
Not a whole lot. You only got three guys there, so yeah, Avery Davis took some reps at running back, but he does not look like a running back. He seems, you know, you could tell he's a quarterback. Yeah, Brian Kelly didn't talk too much about the running back. So, but they did. Jafar Armstrong is one guy that did take reps as running back as well. So he's kind of going to be all over, wide receiver, running back. He's kind of a, him and Avery Davis can kind of move around. So,
and
the tight ends.
It is good to remember Brian Kelly has done a good job when his players have changed position.
Yeah,
they often have done well.
Yeah. Cole Kmet, I was saying that he's playing baseball right now, but something that speaks about him as a person, his attitude towards football. I mean, obviously, Brian Kelly said at the beginning of the week that Komet's football is number one to him and baseball is number two. And, you know, they can, you know, depending what game it is, they might give him a break. Well, they did say he can have Saturday off because he was pitching. Well, Komet was like, nah, he hardly did anything. You know, he only threw 15 pitches. He's going to be at practice. So he had the opportunity to take off and know he wanted to be at practice. So that's good, and he's definitely doing good things out there in the field, and he has the right attitude is what it sounds like. His coach, they did ask his coach, I forget which one of the reporters asked the baseball coach, you know, how good he is, you know, could he be a Jesse Margin? He's like, well, he didn't turn it down, so. But.
All right, we do want to talk about Pro Day. Was there any other, I guess Brian Kelly talked a little bit about the offensive line.
Offensive line, Mustafer's obviously in control up there. I mean, he's the leader and knows what's going on. Alex Bars, you know, is another guy. Then as far as the other, it seems like they have the same lineups, but it's basically open to, whatever. Brian Kelly said they wanted to, by the end of spring, they want to know which players can play which position. You know, is Eichenberg a guy that can play left tackle, right tackle, you know, both those, or is he just a left tackle? Like, they want to have all that figured out. Trevor Rulon is doing good things at guard. Brian Kelly mentioned him as playing smart, and his technique, everything is good, so maybe he's a little bit smaller than some of the other guys, but he's doing better because he's so precise at what he does. His technique is right, and he knows what he needs to be, where he needs to be, and he's getting a chance at guard. They did, at Saturday, Eichenberg and Kramer rotated at one tackle position, so I don't know if Kramer's destined to be a rotation guy, a co-starter. But yeah, so they're still switching things up. But they want to have figured out who can play what position by the end of spring. And I think they need to. So.
All right. Are you ready to talk about Pro Day?
Yeah. Obviously, you had Josh Adams, Greer Martini, Mike McGlinchey, Niles Morgan, Quentin Nelson, Durham Smythe, EQ, Andrew Trombetti, and Malik Zaire. I guess the biggest thing Josh Adams that I was surprised by. Josh Adams 40 time. Like I knew he was pretty fast, but I always thought it took him a while to get to top speed. I guess 40 yards is enough. I mean, his time was a 4.48 and 4.51. And supposedly could have surgery on his foot. I'm not sure what all is going on there, but he might actually have to have surgery on his foot, and he was still doing all of that. So not all the guys. McGlinchey, some of the guys were at the combine, didn't perform. I mean, you know, they did the measurements, but they didn't do a lot of the 40 or the bench press or anything like that. Adams 40 time, here's just some quick things. Adams 40 time would have been fifth at the combine.
For running backs.
Which he did not run the 40 at the combine.
For running backs.
And then his three-cone drill would have been the fastest. Andrew Tombetti put up 25 reps in the bench press. That would have been tied for sixth. And Martini actually would rank sixth at the combine with his three-cone drill. There was somebody there from all 32 NFL teams. And so all the teams were out there. Nothing else, I don't know, necessarily stood out to me. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you look. Yeah, there, it was just a whole bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
So. All right. But I think some of those guys helped. I think Martini helped himself. You know, some of the guys didn't get a chance. I did see one report that Morgan's actually fighting just to get drafted. So, which seems kind of, which it's not completely surprising, but all the hype around him before this last season, you know. But just some other things. Notre Dame and Alabama are supposedly in talks of scheduling a home-and-home, according to Alabama site. Personally, I think if they do schedule, it's going to be a ways out because Notre Dame already has a bunch of games scheduled in the early 2020s. And this game will happen after Kelly and Nick Saban are gone, which means that Alabama will be in shambles because they'll finally do their investigations after Saban leaves, and they'll probably be in a bowl ban and, you know, down to 50 scholarship players and who knows what. Anyways, but it is kind of exciting to talk about it. I mean, impressive that Alabama is actually trying to schedule a game like that.
Well, Alabama usually has one marquee out of conference game per year. You know, they've played Florida State. They played, wasn't it USC last year?
Yeah, they
played Michigan. It was Texas and USC maybe last year.
Yeah, Texas and USC last year. So, and then just some interesting tweets. Well, obviously, Cade McNamara, the quarterback that decommitted from Notre Dame, committed to Michigan. His dad's all excited about that. He tweeted out and said, Michigan baseball, basketball, and hockey have yet to lose a game since a bunch of his periods and, you know, an emoji there, which is basically since Cade committed to Michigan. So I guess that's where him and his family want to be. It's clearly obvious. And then Brian Polian tweeted out and said, this Kansas Duke game is being played above the rim. The athleticism is unreal. Reminds me of lunchtime hoops with the Notre Dame football staff. So we didn't see any film or proof of that, but anyways.
All right. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything more, Randall?
No, I think that's about it. Make sure you buy your tickets for the Blue Gold game.
All right.
I'm going to keep pushing that.
All right. And follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk. Join the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net, and get all the latest podcast episodes from your favorite podcasting app or over on our website, irishsportstalk.net. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.